Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, as matriculants eagerly await their results, many are asking, what is next? Well, let me tell you, the rise of artificial intelligence and emerging technologies is really reshaping the job market, with traditional careers like auditing and accounting maybe in decline. And tonight I'm joined by Dr. Mene de Klerk, who is Dean for Curricula and Research at EduVos, and I want to discuss how students can future-proof their careers and embrace opportunities in this landscape that seems to be changing minute by minute. Dr. de Klerk, a very warm welcome. Good evening, and thank you very much for joining us. So there's no doubt that AI is driving the decline of traditional careers. What does it mean for matriculants who get their results today and tomorrow and who are now choosing their career path?
Thank you so much. I think, firstly, matriculants should take a breath, not panic too much. We are seeing unprecedented transformation indeed shaped by AI, but as the new World Economic Forum's Future of Job report highlights, this is not really about job loss necessarily, it's about job evolution. We will see in the next 5 years 75 million jobs being transformed or eliminated even, but another 133 million new jobs will be created globally. So I would really encourage matriculants to focus on ways that they can play a role in this fast-changing job market.
So you talk about evolution, and you're absolutely spot on as far as that's concerned. So are there new key skills that younger people need to start focusing on, not only to remain relevant, but also desirable in a job market in the future?
Oh, certainly. So the most in-demand skills, according to the reports, and what we're also seeing in the higher education and research for the next at least 5 years and beyond, would be analytical thinking and innovation, empathy and communication skills for collaboration. So those are the really soft skills, but balancing that with more technical skills. So AI literacy, big data analysis, those kind of skills. And overarching, though, is the ability to be and really a lifelong learner and to adapt. We are not preparing students in higher education, for instance, for one final career, their first job. We are preparing them to adapt for many, many careers and job titles that we can't even fathom.
And I suppose in that respect, it not only requires a different mindset and a willingness to look forward to something that might not even exist, but also there's a new type of aptitude that is needed. How do you identify that aptitude, I wonder?
Well, we will always encourage our students to remain open and curious, to not just focus on those lucrative job titles that they're really gunning for their first careers, but rather look at ways that they can evolve with technology and identify local and global challenges that they can respond to. So it's more of an interdisciplinary mindset. It's the ability to listen and also I think to respond to a changing world, but perhaps most importantly for me at least, is to identify for themselves what will set me apart from the bot. So yes, AI can be used to automate many tasks, but we as humans, we can still navigate complex situations, we can remain curious, we can communicate in an intercultural situation. So that is in the end what's going to differentiate you in a job market that's augmented by AI.
Do you think that South African students are thinking in that respect, though? Are they embracing the kind of approach that you're recommending, or are they still a long way off?
I think we're getting there, but we do need to accelerate. There needs to be a sense of urgency. So at our higher education institution, for instance, we really focus on AI literacy, on lifelong learning, and embedding that in all parts of our programs. I think we, in South Africa, we're already very apt when it comes to adapting to challenging situations. And in a way, AI has become the great equalizer. Everybody is as much in the dark about these new tools and what they can do. I was just at a conference a couple of months ago in Cambridge, and the consensus there was, we still don't know. We just have to adapt together. So in a way, we as South Africans, we're on par with the rest of the world, in one way in our uncertainty, but another way in finding challenges and solutions together to the challenges.
Doctor, how do you encourage students to become more curious. You've used that word twice in this conversation. Not always easy to do, given that often the education approach that we have at schools almost discourages that sometimes.
Indeed. In the future of work, people won't be necessarily, or that your future employers won't be looking for the expert in the room, rather the person that can ask the right questions. So I would suggest to students, learn to ask the right questions, to play around with AI tools in a way that automates some of your tasks, but never use it to outsource your own thinking. It has no intentionality, it has no point of view, it gets things wrong all the time. So it can treat it almost like you would a sneaky assistant, if you were. Well, somebody that might lie to you quite often, but that's really smart. You can outsource some things to them, but it cannot make decisions for you, and it cannot do your job on your behalf. So the students that know how to use AI ethically, that have played around with the tools, but that's also willing to add their human intentionality, their ability to ask questions, as I mentioned, to be curious, that's going to be more valued than anything else.
That's a very good point that you make, but I would also suggest to you that the temptation often, and not only for students, but anyone who's engaging with artificial intelligence, is to abrogate all responsibility.
Indeed, and that is a big, big challenge for us in higher education. What we're trying to explain to students is the why. So if we are asking our students not to outsource their essay writing or coding or whatnot to AI, we always explain the reasoning behind it. Because one day you will have to stand up if you're a law student in the court of law, or you'll have to make a quick decision when you're negotiating with a client, and then you cannot outsource it to AI, your thinking and doing. So you need to be able to work independent of the bot, and that foundational knowledge, the recall that you can immediately make based on facts you actually learned, that's going to really equip you for the world of work. So once they understand that, there's more of a trust in why we sometimes ask them, please resist using the bot, because it is just so easy.
And Dr. de Klerk, finally, a lot of mothers and fathers driving home tonight listening to this conversation will have anxious children at home who are waiting in anticipation of those matric results. What kind of guidance can parents provide their children to help them make informed decisions around AI? What should that conversation be like, do you think?
Again, I would first caution them not to panic too much. You are not going to help enroll your student in a program that's going to set them up for that one job title, that one career. They will be switching careers many, many times. They will one day hold a title that we don't yet understand or know. One of the most lucrative careers at the moment is that of a blockchain consultant, or a virtual CFO, or a prompt engineer. These are things that didn't really exist about a year ago. So take a breath. Students should enroll in a program or further studies that they're passionate about, but always keep an eye out for that dual the combination between technical skills, such as AI-related skills, big data-related skills, and also soft skills like creativity, leadership, and ethical reasoning. If a program features those, that's normally a good start. And then finally, keep in mind that you'll have to reskill most likely every 5 to 7 years. So see your studies as a wonderful foundation, but it's only a first step.
And Dr. de Klerk, that advice doesn't only apply to students, but also to old people like me, I guess.
And myself, I have to say. Indeed, I have a PhD, and I'm sure nobody will ever read that thesis. All it means is I've really committed to something for a couple of years, and now I have to upskill every day.
Some good advice. So Dr. Mina de Klerk, Dean for Curricula and Research at EduVos, appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.